This morning's reading is taken from the first letter of Peter, chapter 3, starting to read at verse 8. And if you'd like to follow this passage in your pew Bibles, it's on page 1153. That's 1 Peter 3, verse 8, and it's headed Suffering for Doing Good. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever among you would love life and see good days must keep your tongue from evil and your lips from deceitful speech. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit.
Good morning. I thought I'd share with you my work of creativity just to show how well I was concentrating when Joe told us how to tear up our paper into the shape of a cross. Is there anybody here who ended up the same shape as... Oh, good. Well, I'm glad I wasn't the only one. I probably wasn't concentrating or maybe thinking about the sermon, but there we go. Some of us are not quite as practically minded as others, and you can see which category I fit into. We read this morning, didn't we, from 1 Peter, and in that passage there's a lot about what we do, about good works. Now, the other Saturday, I was waiting outside the bus stop in Hartford Heath, getting the bus into Hartford. And as very, very occasionally happens, the bus was really late, so maybe it wasn't turning up at all. So I was standing next to somebody. I had no idea who they were. I was talking with them, and we were talking a bit about punctuation of the bus service and everything else. And the lady who lives almost opposite the bus stop just came down, and she saw us, and she waved the person who was next to me over. I saw them speaking, and then next minute she drives her car out of the onto the road, and she calls me over, and she drives us into town, drops us off, and then goes back again. I don't know the lady. I've seen her while I've been waiting for the bus often, as she walks her dog. It was a completely unexpected act of kindness. HBC does lots of good things. Okay, we beat ourselves up about, you know, not doing enough, but there's a lot that goes on here in the church. A few of us will be going up to Seal and with the hub this afternoon, and we seek to help and work with the families up there and just provide them with a setting where they can come and enjoy themselves and relax and know that somebody cares about them. Every month we have Crosslinks, and we have a group who seek to support those with older people who have learning disabilities and all sorts of other issues, and we seek to work with them. There's Golden Lunch every month. Many of our elder citizens are fed and supported. There's been the Toddler Club that's gone for many years, and I could go on and on and on. So you could hit the next person and give them a clap on the back and say, well done. But that's not what it's about. This isn't about making us feel good about what we're doing. I've always been so struck with our mission partners, how much and how many of them are so involved with helping and supporting those. We have Aquila and Priscilla, who across the other side of the world, working in a very difficult environment, run a bus service to help the local community, who drill wells for the local community. We have John and Katani in Zimbabwe, and they work tirelessly to support and help others. They feed orphans. They help pastors whose pensions have been destroyed by the what's happened in the country. We have Esther, who works with refugees in refugee camps, and particularly works alongside and with children with physical disabilities. We have the Marianda Trust, and Richard and others have supported that for years now, and they go out regularly to support the schools in that area. We have the Wilderhausen, our friends in Wilderhausen. I wasn't able to go on the trip recently, but Anne told me all about it. And she told me about, you know, one of their ministries, which is about supporting refugees who come to that area in Germany. And that's something that they're very active with. There's CAP, Christians Against Poverty, and there's information in the news seat about that today. So let's just remind ourselves what Peter says in that passage that we read. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. We are called to do good. We are called to help. We are called not to do evil, not to repay evil with evil, but to repay evil with good. So the question is, are good works enough? If we as a church or we as individuals seek to work hard to support those around us, that's a good thing. Is it enough? And Peter says, no, it's not enough. He says, first of all, our motives can be misunderstood. He says, our good works may even be twisted against us, and people may slander us, may even tell lies about why we're doing things. And Peter talks about the fact that it may even lead to suffering. In verses 13, he talks, who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? It suggests, well, no one should. But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. And so the fact is that we may suffer and we may be misunderstood for what we're doing. And we shouldn't be surprised, should we? Jesus Christ himself was misunderstood. Even his family didn't seem to understand why he was here. His enemies took what he was doing and tried to twist it against him. He suffered because of the good that he did. When he healed somebody on the Sabbath day, the religious leaders used that as an excuse, and that was one of the things that turned them against him. His disciples suffered when they did good. Peter and John were able to see a man healed, a man walk again, and not long after, they were thrown in jail. So good works on their own are not enough. And not only that, Christians do not have we're not the only ones doing good and doing well. That lady who picked me up, I have no idea whether she has a faith. Our next door neighbours are lovely people. And they will do so much to help others. We sometimes get into a situation when we believe the world is so evil, there's so much going wrong, there's so much bad in it, and we lose sight of the fact that actually people are working for one another, they are supporting for one another, they are giving their lives for one another. So good works are really important, but Peter says they're not enough, not on their own. And so we have to, hand in hand with our works, we have our words. And Peter says very clearly, always, always be prepared to give an answer. So when somebody comes to you and says, so why are you doing that? Why do you go to church? Why does the church do this? Why? What's it all about? Peter says we should all of us be ready to give an answer. And it's not about coming out with some great theological explanation. That's not what we're called to do. We're called to give our testimony. Remember the Samaritan woman who Jesus met and how she changed her life around. How did she share her testimony? She just came to the people. She went back into her town and she just said, come and see. Come and meet somebody who knew absolutely everything about me. Remember the blind man who Jesus healed? And then afterwards he was taken in front of the religious leaders and rulers and they quizzed him as to what had happened, why had this happened, who had healed him. And the man very simply said, this is really strange, really. You are the religious leaders and you don't even know who this person was. And he said, all I know is one thing. I was blind, but now I see. So it's about giving an explanation for what we believe. I don't know how many of you saw the program on Christians Against Poverty a few weeks ago. I think it was a very good program. And of course that question came up, which I suppose you could almost guarantee they would ask. Said, oh, it's great that this organization is working with debt counseling and is helping people get out of debt. That is great. But couldn't you just do that and forget the Christian bit? Why the Christian bit? And of course, John Kirkby then had the opportunity. He had that question, why? He was able to explain and tell that it's more than just that. And in fact, if you saw the whole program, you could see how the work that they did, the fact that they were willing to sit and pray with people and help them beyond just the debt, what a big difference it made to their lives. I've mentioned Esther. I think one of the things that really hit me, as Esther explained her work with refugees and with children with disabilities in some of the countries where she's lived, is that the question that's come to her, and they've said, in a society that actually doesn't really believe that children with disabilities are worth very much, and then that society, they came to Esther and they say, why do you love our children more than we do? Why do you do this for our children? Now, she didn't have the freedom maybe to explain the gospel fully, but she was still able to give an answer. And when Jesus was here, he did so much good work, so many things, but he was always willing and always making sure that it was clear that people understood why he had come. So works are good, but they're not enough. And Peter says we need to share why we believe. What is it that gives us hope? What is it that makes us positive about the future? And he gives three very practical points there. He says, first of all, you need to be gentle. This is not about shoving the gospel down someone's throat. This is not about being antagonistic. This is about a gentleness. He said, be gentle, be respectful. So this is not about sharing our faith and suggesting that those of other faiths have got it all wrong, are taking a position where we've got it all right. It doesn't mean we have to agree with people. It doesn't mean we have to just go along with what they're saying. But it does mean that we need to respect their position and what they believe in. So he says, be gentle, be respectful. And lastly, he says to be honest. The scripture talks about having an open conscience. And it's about honesty, isn't it? It means that, okay, I don't have all the answers. I can't explain all the answers. I may not even be able to answer all your questions. But I will find out for you. I will help you. I will share with you. So share the gospel with your friends and your neighbours, with your colleagues at work. Share it gently, share it respectfully, and share it honestly. Now, this is not easy. I don't mind doing this. I feel quite comfortable about standing in front of a group of people and talking to them. I do that at work and I'm fine with that. Put me in front of one person on my own and I dry up. My mind goes blank. I'm not a very social character. It's a real problem for me, and I find it really difficult. And yet that's the environment really that we're talking about. We're talking about individuals who might come and talk to you and ask you questions and ask you about your faith. So I know it's not easy, I know that for some do find it easier. Some are just naturally able to chat and talk with people. But some of us aren't, and I'm certainly one of those. So maybe we just need to think about it practically. Maybe take the opportunity with a friend, a fellow Christian. Maybe do it in the home groups. Maybe just take the opportunity. How about trying to tell your story in that environment where you feel supported and where they can maybe help you? And that might be a practical way that you can think of, how could I share my faith? How could I answer somebody when they say, why do you believe that? Why do you do that? Why do you behave differently to other people? As we close, we're going to come into communion in just a few minutes. Just want to come back to the good works. You see, these go in hand, don't they? This isn't about something that's more important than something else. You know, James wrote to Christians to say how important it was that what you do, your actions, mirror what you say you believe. So actions and good works are so important. And I think in many ways that's probably where we start. If you like, it often gives us the opportunity to talk to others. It gives us almost the more authority when we're actually acting out the way we should do. But I suppose I just left with a question of what it is that we do. What is it we support? And what should we be doing? One of the things that struck me with Jesus' ministry is how often he was helping people that were on the margin, and how that his actions led to being criticized really severely. So if what I do is considered perfectly acceptable, it's just what everybody else does. If the people I seek to help, or you seek to help, are those who everyone is quite happy about helping, then probably people aren't really going to question that. But if the people that we help are those who are themselves criticized, maybe that's more difficult. Going back to refugees, it's not an area that in Hartford we necessarily have. We've had a few people come to the church who've needed that sort of help, but not many. But you think again about our friends in Wilderhausen working with refugees. I haven't spoken to them, I don't know all the details, but I suspect that there are those in the community who probably would say, you shouldn't be doing this. You know, I mean, how many times have you heard, and unfortunately I think this is part of Brexit, but I won't go into Brexit, it's so much, isn't it, about, well, we've just looking inside, we've got enough, we should be helping the people who live here, not the people who live there, or the people who are coming in. So maybe we'd be thinking about the actions we're doing, about thinking, yeah, even if we are going to get criticized for those actions, we should still carry them out. If we're going to get criticized for helping that particular group of people, we should still go ahead. And it's those actions, I think, that will often lead to the question, so why are you doing it? Let's pray. Father, you've called us to be a people who act rightly, who love those around us. You've called us to be people who are different. And we pray that you'll help us. Help us as we make decisions as a church and individually of what we do with our money, what we do with our resources. Help us to act rightly and not to worry about the fact that we may be criticized for what we're doing. Lord, it's so easy for us to take the smoother path. the easier path. And I do this myself so often. And Lord, as we act rightly, as we show love, we pray that we will always be in a position when we can give an answer. When someone comes to us and says, why do you believe? Lord, help us. Help us to give answers. Help us to be gentle. Help us to be respectful. Help us to be honest with those answers. To admit that we don't know everything. To admit that we also struggle. But Lord, forgive us for the many times that we've let that opportunity slip and we've missed it. Help us to be aware of what's happening around us and of those who need our help and those who need to hear your gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.